We have talked with you about the nature of the church, and perhaps with this point of view we've said enough. Basically, that the church was organized not only on earth, but in heaven. As the Apostle Paul told his people, they were come to an innumerable company of angels. We tried to show how the ages were tied together in the person of great spiritual heroes who have gone on before. Tonight I want to talk about Christ in history, because I think this is a subject that we ought to know and be able to understand what it is that he has done. Jesus used history many times in his ministry. The one instance which stands out more than any other was the way he looked forward into the past, for that's what prophecy is. It is the ability to look forwards into the past and backwards into the future. He looked forwards into the past when telling of his second coming and said, quote, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming on of the Son of Man." And he went on to illustrate this, and you'll find it in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the 21st chapter of Luke, and the 13th chapter of St. Mark. And he showed a keen interest in what had gone on before. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day," an acknowledged expression of his use of history. Of course, towards the close of his ministry, when he told his disciples that he would go away, they began to be sorrowful. And he was talking about the temple, and they were showing him the buildings of the temple, and he said, "You see these buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another." And later, when they went out on the Mount of Olives, which is on the east of Jerusalem, they asked him three questions. First, when shall these things be? That is, the things that he said concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. And what is the sign of thy coming? And third, of the end of the world. Three things that they wanted to know. First, the fulfillment of his prediction concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. Second, the sign of his coming. And third, the end of the world. And the 24th, 25th, and 26th chapters of Matthew's Gospel is his attempt to answer these questions. And these three chapters should be read as one, and read in connection also with section 45 of the Doctrine and Covenants. The inspired version of the scriptures gives a different rendering than the King James, and agrees and harmonizes with section 45, and gives us a better and a clearer picture. I think it was Bishop Butler who said, "Prophecy is history written before time." And that definition may, of course, be open to question. But nevertheless, our Lord does outline that which will transpire between the times he was talking to his disciples and the time that he should return. And over these prophecies, of course, many, many hundreds of thousands of men have pondered and have sought to find the times and the seasons. But after telling about the destruction of the Jerusalem, there is an unspecified time, wholly undefined, when he talks about the light beginning to break out among the Gentiles and how the gospel should be restored. Then he says, quote, "For as the light of the morning cometh out of the east and shineth to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." The King James Version says, "As the lightning cometh out the east and shines to the west." But the inspired version says, "As the light of the morning comes out of the east and shines to the west," which is so much different and much better rendition. The text that I would like to take is this particular one, "As the light of the morning cometh out of the east and shineth to the west." And if we have but a passing or rudimentary knowledge of the course of time, we can see how this is literally being fulfilled. After Jesus went away, he was called the bright and the morning star, the day spring from on high, the harbinger of the new day. Years ago, I remember climbing Mount Tamalpais, which is in Marin County in California. It was on the eve of Labor Day, and about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we reached the summit, and a group of us fellows stood at the very top of the mountain
and watch the coming of the day. It was really a glorious sight. Away in the distance to the east were the Sacramento Mountains. If we listened very, very carefully, we could hear the murmur of the Pacific Ocean to the west. And in between, there was a vast sea of fog. And we noticed, as we counted the various navigational stars, that there was one star which wasn't really a star, it was a planet, Venus, I think, or Mars, one out of the two. And it rose over the horizon brighter than all the other stars. And I couldn't help thinking of the statement of St. John in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, quote, "I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star." He was. He ascended up on high, and because he did, the fact that he ascended up on high constituted the promise of a new day for all mankind. And you know what followed.